Hey friends, it is Tim, and it is Monday, March 23. And today, let's talk about a book that, due to COVID-19, has gone from basically complete obscurity to the top of the bestseller charts. The book, of course, you maybe have heard of it in the last couple of days, is End of Days by Sylvia Brown. Sylvia Brown, in the book End of Days, predicts that in or around the year 2020, which is this year, there will be some kind of a respiratory outbreak that'll affect people. And then, according to the book, within 10 years, that's going to go away. And then sometime around 2030, it's going to come back and it'll be the end of days. Apparently, this book has gotten people quite anxious, quite concerned. Now let me say a couple things. Number one, I haven't read the book, and I hate commenting on books that I haven't read because I feel like it's a recipe for ignorance, and ignorance is contagious. But this is less about, and I don't know the author either, and I'm sure she was a lovely, lovely lady, but this is less about that book in particular and more about these kinds of books and what do we do with these kinds of things, especially in a time like this where people are already concerned. Like, my concern in this is that we take that kind of thing too seriously, and we kick this, which we will kick this, right? We're going to get over this. And as a nation, we will rebound. As a world, we will rebound. But my concern is that if we're all, for the next 10 years, on edge because of a prediction in a what was an obscure book, well, that becomes quite dangerous. And yet, how do you ignore the argument that in 2020 there's going to be something that's going to happen, and it's going to be respiratory, and some of the parallels, are they just coincidences? Well, in order to get at that, let me share with you something else. We probably should talk about Abraham Lincoln and John F. Kennedy, because if we're going to talk about the weird and the coincidence, well, I don't know if you've ever held these two side by side, but once you hold Lincoln and Kennedy up side by side, let's just say they have a few things in common. Let me just give you a few of them. Abraham Lincoln has 7 letters in his last name. John F. Kennedy has 7 letters in his last name. Lincoln was born the second child in his family. Kennedy was born the second child in his family. Both married in their 30s. Both married women in their 20s. Okay, here's where we get to. Lincoln was elected to the House of Representatives in 1846. Kennedy was elected to the House of Representatives in 1946. Lincoln failed to win the vice presidential nomination in 1856. Kennedy failed to win the vice presidential nomination in 1956. Lincoln won the election in 1860. Kennedy in 1960. Spooky. I know, right? Coincidence? Well, how about this? Lincoln defeated a man named Stephen Douglas, who was born in 1813. Kennedy defeated a man named Richard Nixon, who was born in 1913. Lincoln had a vice president named Johnson. Kennedy had a vice president named Johnson. Both vice presidents named Johnson went on to be the next respective presidents. Andrew Johnson's name has 13 letters. Lyndon Johnson's name has 13 letters. Both presidents dealt with major civil rights issues surrounding race. Both presidents had 4 children and suffered the death of a son while in the White House. Lincoln had a secretary named Kennedy. Kennedy had a secretary named Lincoln. Do I need to go on? Okay, I will. Both Kennedy and Lincoln were shot on a Friday in the presence of their wives. Both died from a gunshot wound to the head. Lincoln was shot in Ford's Theater. Kennedy was shot in a Ford car. The specific model of Ford car? A Lincoln. Uh-huh. Both had assassins who were known by 3 names. John Wilkes Booth's name has 15 letters. Lee Harvey Oswald's name has 15 letters. Booth was born in the 1830s and was in his 20s when he shot Lincoln. Oswald was born in the 1930s and was in his 20s when he shot Kennedy. Both were killed before their trials. Booth shot Lincoln in a theater and was captured in a warehouse. Oswald shot Kennedy in a warehouse and was captured in a theater. And you could keep going. In fact, if you start looking these up, just like some of these conspiracy theories, there you can go down the rabbit hole. The coincidence, hundreds of thousands of opinions on what do these mean? What do we make of these? As people, we love, as a culture, we love a good conspiracy theory, do we not? It's what makes Netflix documentaries like Making a Murderer so compelling. We love a good conspiracy theory. There are people who don't believe we landed on the moon. There are people who think 9/11 was a conspiracy that our own government set up. There are people who think aliens frequent our neighborhoods and write messages in our corn. Now, why do I say all this? Because when it comes to conspiracies, there are no more, there's no other book that gets tied to, let's just name them, crazy conspiracy theories than the Bible. There are, right now, there are people who are quoting the Bible. And by the way, if you're one of these people, please, out of love, I know you're trying to help, but please stop. There are people who right now are quoting the Bible and who are saying that this is all God's plan, that he's trying to return us to prayer, that he's trying to teach us a lesson. There's verses that get quoted around this, but are you sure? Are you positive? Because if not, you may be giving God the blame for Satan's work. Remember, it was Jesus who said that I have come that they may have life and life to the full. The enemy comes to kill, steal, and destroy. I want to be really careful, really careful. Now, will there be good things that come out of this? Absolutely. And in all things, does God work to good? Absolutely. Does God cause all things to work to? Well, no, we don't hear that. We'll talk more about this, but just be careful, be careful, be careful. When it comes to the book that came out in 2020, there is a couple of things that connect. Nothing as long as the list between Kennedy and Lincoln. But here's the thing. Coincidences, even mind-blowing ones, should not inform our decision-making. Reality should. Facts should. Evidence should. Scripture should. And then that last one, that's the one I'm most passionate about. And what I want to do throughout is this week and maybe next week, I want to talk about how to read the Bible, especially around this stuff. I want to talk about the book of Revelation. I believe that faith by definition must go past the evidence, has to go further. Otherwise, it wouldn't be faith. It would just be fact. So you have to go past the evidence, but it shouldn't go against the evidence. Faith should not go against the evidence. And so, and by the way, when it comes to a coincidence, like, oh, okay, there was a book written about a respiratory thing, we all realize that SARS, like I think it was 2003 that the outbreak of SARS happened, and this book was written after that. So not that far-fetched of an idea that we would be dealing with something like this. It had already happened once. Now, tomorrow we'll talk more about this. I want to talk about when scripture, the book that is most misquoted when it comes to scripture, and that is the book of Revelation. And then I want to back up and ask the question, well, how should we, like, what is the lens? What is the focus? How should we read this book that is, let's just be honest, it is complicated. And the risk of misreading is really high. So how do we read this? We'll talk about that. But for now, if you're finding yourself freaking out and wondering, like right now, is this the end of days? Is this the end of the world? Has this been predicted by mediums? And by the way, Christians, we shouldn't probably be thinking too much about what it is a medium says anyway. We were told not to do that. But if you're finding yourself freaking out about that, as your friend, as your pastor, please, like, just know that our God is good and we are in good hands. I hope you're doing okay. I know that by the time you get this, there's probably been an executive order of some sort that we are issued stay at home. And I'm hoping that your home is safe for you, and I hope that you find ways to find contentment at home. And mostly, I've been praying that you would stay healthy. And so, from my heart to yours, I wish you grace and peace, and we'll talk again soon.